And after about 1 minute, that wolf decided to kind of lower his ears, lower his head, come walking towards me, and right in between my legs came back up and licked square through my face. Would you let a real wolf kiss you? Are you a victim of your own fears once in a while? Then maybe this podcast has one or the other idea for you to rethink your fear and find ways how to conquer them. This is Stefan. Hello, dear Lightwolf, and a very warm welcome to a podcast episode that I wish I had filmed. And I'm just getting goosebumps again when just thinking about it. Why? And again, I'm getting goosebumps. It's amazing. Why? Because I'm talking today about a moment that for sure has been one of the most magical moments in my entire life. Welcome to today's Lightwolf podcast, A Kiss from a Wolf. Conquer your fear. So, a little bit of context on today's episode. First, on the name Lightwolf, or in English, leader of the pack. In March 2009, when I became serious in making leadership and strategy work, the only thing that my team and I focus on, Tanya and I had a magic moment, because we thought about finding ways to make this complex thing called strategy and leadership, this complex thing simple, and the simple thing exciting. And in my experience, to do so, to make the complex simple and the simple exciting, often gets easier when you find one picture, one visual, and one word to symbolize everything that you'd like to convey. And after a good cup of coffee, a good conversation, and maybe 10 minutes of brainstorming, I went back into my office, thought for a moment, and then boom, suddenly I had an idea. And that's why this podcast is now called the Lightwolf Podcast. Why Lightwolf? Why the leader of the pack? Because in my experience, Lightwolf and wolves, the female and the male leaders of the pack, are a very strong and very powerful symbol for my own leadership philosophy, for what I think good leadership is all about. Yes, sometimes people then question, but Stefan, wolves are aggressive and wolves kill. And yes, wolves kill, but they only kill for their own survival, right? And it's interesting that so many people know so much about this hard side of wolves, maybe about the IQ, about the intelligence of wolves, but fewer people know about the emotional intelligence and the social skills of wolves that are truly amazing. For instance, before a pack of wolves starts a hunt, they will delegate a young wolf to take care of the puppies. They install a kindergarten before they go out for the hunt. Or it's also very interesting to learn from one of the most experienced wolf observers. She has seen about 10,000 wolf encounters live in the wild, and she saw that packs, groups of wolves, of only young wolves, need to hunt 5 times for one successful hunt, whereas packs that included at least one elder wolf hunted successfully 1 in 2 times. So diverse packs with young and old teams are much more successful than homogeneous teams only made up of similar ages, of young ages. So this is just a few facts to illustrate the high level of intelligence, emotional intelligence, and also social skills that I have often observed in wolves. And yes, on top, yes, I do like dogs, although I never possessed one. But for all of these reasons, for the social skills, the emotional skills, and the intellectual skills, we chose Lightwolf to be the symbol of this podcast and, in fact, of the most powerful leadership programs that our company is creating for businesses. Now, all of these experiences culminated in a moment a few years ago. Again, I was blessed and I was really looking forward to a 3-day leadership program with a group of 12 experienced leaders. They all had leadership experience for years in their backs, so I was looking forward to a really great 3 days program to go down into the nuts and bolts, the essence that makes a difference, and then practice those sometimes small things that have these big differences in terms of leading others to success and fun. And since it was in a part of Europe where there was a wolf pack not far away, I decided to travel up a day early and just take a day to meet the wolves. These three wolves, three brothers and sisters at the age of three, they had grown up in the wild and then after some time had been brought into a reservat, a cage, but a huge one that was so big that it would probably take you half an hour to run from one end to the other. You can always ever only see one part of it, so it looks like just a fence between two parts of an open space. A lot of space for these animals. And I observed them for about half an hour, and importantly, I think this matters here, they were fed. They were fed before the magic moment happened. And I could see them how aggressively they behaved when they were fighting for food. They were all fed well, so they must have known from experience that they wouldn't have stayed hungry, but they were really barking at each other very loud and showing their teeth aggressively. So that was the tough side of wolves. But then once the feeding was over, I asked the woman who is looking after these wolves, I asked her, "Mrs. Ascani, what do you think? Do you think I'm strong enough to go inside?" And then she looked at me for a few seconds and said, "Okay, Stefan, I think perceiving you right now, you're calm enough and you're strong enough. So why not go inside?" So she opened the cage. In I went. Behind me she closed. And I sat down on a wooden bench right behind the fence. And then I was waiting. And then just a few moments later, those three wolves were coming my way. The first one just looked at me and apparently found me pretty boring. There was a little piece of meat lying around on the ground. That was much more exciting. So he turned over to his meat. The second one was already more interested, got close and got close enough to sniff my hand and then again turned away. But the third one apparently was really interested. That third animal, that third wolf, was about 1.5 meters away from me. And we were on eye level because I had chosen to immediately sit down and be on eye level rather than being top down. And probably for 1 minute, we had eye contact, looked into each other's eyes, and were completely silent. And after about 1 minute, that wolf decided to kind of lower his ears, lower his head, come walking towards me, and right in between my legs came back up and licked square through my face. What a magic moment. I wish I had videotaped this experience. It's going to stay with me for a lifetime anyway. And I think I know this inspired this podcast. A kiss from a wolf, conquer your fear. Why this title? Well, you bet. I was shit scared. I was scared. And I bet without having measured it, my blood pressure, my pulse must have been double my normal levels. But I also expect, without knowing this animal well enough, I also expect this wolf must have been scared as well, because he didn't know me. Because he knows that humans in general are a danger to wolves. So he might have experienced something very similar. Fear, concern, stress. But I think what we did in these 60 seconds was simply to mutually not show the fear, to not send the stress signal, to show respect, to be on eye level. And I think all of these things led to that wolf making me this wonderful present of coming forward, giving me a huge kiss, licking square through my face, and adopting me into his pack. What a wonderful moment. This also ignited and inspired a phrase in my head. And the phrase is, what you give, you get back. Or, what you send, returns. And I think this is massively important for any human, and particularly in a leadership context. Now, as I said, I was scared. I'm not sure how much I felt my fear in that moment, but for sure it was there. Still, I managed to stay inside and not run away, and to enable this moment to happen. In order to do so, I had to conquer my fear. And now my question to you, how do you conquer your fears? I'd be really interested if you want to take the time, let me learn from you. Write down how you conquer your fears. Here I'm going to share today three ways how I'm working on conquering mine. Number one, allow and understand your fear. I think one key thing in conquering our fears is to accept that being afraid of something, of a situation, is completely normal and even has some very practical, beneficial use. For instance, I have two sons. My elder son is a mountaineer. He loves mountaineering. If a year ago, when he hiked 11 4,000ers in 4 days, together with his American friend and together with a great guide, had that great guide said, I'm not afraid of anything, I probably would not have allowed him to go with that guide. But I think that guide showed respect for the risk involved in climbing these high mountains. And he respected fear rather than denying it. And I think that's the first thing we can do to conquer our own, is to accept and respect our fears rather than denying it. The second one is, once we've accepted it, how to deal with it? How do you deal with your fears in a way that works for you? So I think one is to be aware that fear is contagious. So don't spread it. I have not seen any problem being solved faster by one of us just spreading fear after fear. It doesn't help. It does the opposite. It's contagious. So let's not spread the fear. Let's acknowledge it's there. Let's not deny it, but let's not spread it. Then feel the fear, but do it anyway. Yeah? One of the things that I think define great leadership, one of the things that distinguishes behaviors that I would say are good leadership from those that I would perceive as great leadership, have to do with fear. Because great leaders are scared like you and me, but they don't allow their fear to prevent them from doing what's right. So feel your fear, but do it anyway. And if you think about applying this in your daily leadership life, maybe you are scared of certain things. For instance, I've worked with almost 80 leaders individually over an entire year in very intensive individual coaching sessions. Repeatedly, I had people who were scared of being in the boardroom. They made it to the C-suite. They made it to the top leadership team but were scared of being in the boardroom and making an impact, or scared of giving an impactful presentation to their board. So the best way to conquer this fear is to do what you're scared of. So prepare a speech and give it, and give it, and give it, and train it. If that's what you want to train, if that's what you want to learn, if you want to learn other things to really turn yourself into exactly the leader you will become, and if you're interested in getting tailor-made, data-based, individual intensive support, don't hesitate to drop me an email or book a call on Calendly, and we might soon be on the phone for you and me to talk about whether I can help you as well in turning yourself into exactly the kind of leader you will become. So that's one element. Another one could be you see people around you being scared. A subordinate, your boss, your peer, people around you. If so, help them. Listen. Have a good conversation. Help them get out of their comfort zones. And once people are out there, they will realize it was not really worth to be scared in the first place at all. But that's another way. Help them out of their comfort zone. And strengthen self-confidence. Strengthen your own and strengthen the self-confidence of others. For instance, if you see someone around you doing something for the first time, doing something that she or he was scared of, and they do well, then take the 10 seconds and praise them for the job well done. You bet this will increase their self-confidence. So tip number one on how to conquer your fear. Allow and understand fear. Tip number two, conversing as equals. Conversing as equals rather than a top-down. Conversing as equals reduces anxieties because it reduces difference and distance. Distance never helped. I don't know how distance helps. So take the distance out. It reduces anxiety. It facilitates the possibility of taking an aligned perspective. And it facilitates trust. Trust, in my view, is the single most important currency that you as a leader need to earn. Your trust in yourself, your trust from your boss, your trust from your peers, and your trust from the people you are responsible for. And you can't command it. The only way you can get it is earning it. And one sure way of earning it is conversing as equals rather than top down. Conversing as equals moves mountains. It makes incredible things possible because you help others do things they never thought they would be able to do. And with your help, they might try. And when they try, they may succeed. And they succeed just because you took the effort of conversing with them as equals. For you and your team, it's important to master these skills, to have these conversations on eye level, to have these conversations as equals, in order to be fast, be good, save cost, and succeed and retain top talent. If you want any suggestion in terms of one-to-one leadership or team effectiveness, or even leading an entire company with a better leadership culture, then please feel free to book a call with me on Calendly here in the show notes of this podcast, or drop me an email to stefan.hohmeister@gmail.com. It will be my pleasure to listen to you and to start a completely informal conversation to start solving your biggest challenges on strategy and leadership. So tip number two to conquer your fear, converse as equals. And tip number three, do not send stress signals. Because what you give comes back to you. This is probably the strongest feeling and thought I have when I think back of this moment with my wolf. I worked hard, probably unconsciously, to not send any stress signal despite the stress I had inside me. And I was rewarded big time. Be aware of body language. be aware of other people's body language and of your own. Because you can disguise words, but you can't disguise body language. Body language conveys your emotions. Consciously understand the stress signals in others and consciously manage your own. A wonderful Swedish leader who I worked with a few years ago in the context of a 120 people senior leadership program once said this enormously powerful sentence in the final one-on-one coaching. She said, "Stefan, you know, I just chose not to send stress signals anymore." Unquote. And I went like, wow, what a powerful mindset and what a powerful sentence. So be aware of the signals you send and don't send stress signals. Take stress out of your style, especially under pressure. It's so easy that under pressure you send stress. But in fact, under pressure, when results are poor, your people are stressed anyway. You need to do the exact opposite. Take stress out so that people can think well, think clearly, get good ideas and execute well and fast. That requires stress to be reduced rather than pressure to be increased. It's high enough anyway. And vice versa, when you feel everything works, your results exceed expectations, everything seems to be working almost perfectly, maybe that's a moment to even further raise expectations in terms of quality without causing stress. But that's a moment when you might even go a little faster, a little harder, and expect a little more when things go well. Another thing you can do, you as an individual can do to deal with your own stress is break, breathe, ask. A simple technique I developed 2 decades ago when I realized what stress does to me, to my mind, and to my body. And then rather than getting even closer to the thing that's stressing me, I decided I need to do the exact opposite. Break means to take some distance, time-wise and space-wise, to take a few steps back, because then the problem is still the same size, but appears smaller and more easy to solve. Breathe. Because when I breathe, I inhale oxygen, I improve the quality of my thinking, I reduce my blood pressure and my pulse, my ability to interact gets improved, so a lot of things get possible when I breathe for a good moment. And finally, don't talk. Particularly don't accuse anyone and don't even share assumptions, because most of the times they head in the wrong direction. Just ask. Ask the people around you on the particular area that you find most relevant right now. Ask the most precise question that comes to your mind on the topic that's relevant and ask it briefly. And then shut up and listen to what they have to say. So that's another way to not send stress signals. Even if you do feel stress inside, apply the break, breathe, ask technique and ask a smart, precise, insightful question and then shut up and listen. And finally for today, I'd like to share another story that a wonderful young woman named Anjali recently shared with me regarding horsemanship and leadership. She's a passionate rider for years. And she shared with me a story that she responded with when she heard my story, Kiss from a Wolf. She shared that her horse apparently very clearly and very well reads the signals that she is sending every day when she's coming to the stable to take care of her horse and ride her horse. And that just underlined the importance of feeling the body language, perceiving the signals that others send, and being aware of the signals you yourself send as a leader. She said, you know, when I'm coming to my stable and I'm in a bad mood and I'm stressed and I have had a bad day, then oftentimes my horse just looks at me and immediately turns around, hides in the most remote part of the stable as if to say, you know what, Anjali, today I'm not interested in working with you. While on other days when I'm coming, I'm relaxed, I've had a good day, I have a smile on my face, she is coming to the stable, she sees her horse, the horse sees her, and then it's like pricking up ears, and as if this horse was asking, great, what are we doing first today? I can't wait to get you on my back and out of the stable, out on the grass to ride. What a wonderful story. Thank you, Anjali, for sharing it. What a wonderful story on horsemanship and leadership that again underlines the importance of not sending stress signals. That's the third thing you can do to conquer your fear. And in a summary, three suggestions to think about how to conquer your fear. One, allow and understand your fear. Two, level up and converse as equals. And three, do not send stress signals. I hope that there was one little nugget in today's podcast that was worth your time, that's worth thinking about, and maybe even worth trying out. If so, please do. And if you can take the time, I'd be delighted to hear from you what you experienced in doing what you've taken out of this Lightwolf podcast. If you like it, please feel free to subscribe to it. And I'd be very happy if you dropped a little note and a star rating on iTunes, and particularly maybe one or two sentences of written feedback, so we can learn what works for you, what can be improved, because that's my aim. My aim is to make this podcast the best it can be in helping you turn yourself into the leader you will and want to become. For today, I say a massive thank you for your time. It was my pleasure. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I look forward to next time. Thank you. Your Lightwolf, Stefan.